Happy to be joined now by Andrew Sharp of Sports Illustrated. Hey, Andrew.
What's going on? How you guys doing?
We're doing very well. So sorry. JD is not doing very well. It's cold. He's from the Yukon, but he's a fraud.
It's freezing cold.
And his Seahawks got destroyed by injury yesterday.
I enjoyed the hot CJ Miles take that I heard before I came on. So I'm with you. I think a lineup change is probably a good thing eventually.
Yeah, because we know he can hit a three. It's tough when he's, you know, he has to take him from 5 feet beyond the 3-point line because he's being covered he's being guarded so closely with that second unit. But what do you think, Andrew? The Eastern Conference as a whole here, because we've debated the Cavaliers thing continuously. I think everybody's in agreement that they're probably worse than last year, but they're still the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. But it's a little more wide open than maybe we realized, and maybe the ceiling for the Raptors is a little higher.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question it's wide open. I think the Cavs are probably worse, not only worse than last year, but worse than people realize, even as we have these Cavs discussions. LeBron is still incredible and still probably the best player in the league, but they don't have many people beyond him that are going to scare good teams. I mean, like Jeff Green played well last night and still, I mean, that wasn't even close to enough against Houston. And, like, it's Jeff Green, it's Dwayne Wade, it's Jay Crowder, who hasn't looked great. And they're going to really, like, it's all on Isaiah Thomas coming back for Cleveland. But beyond that, I honestly have been pleasantly surprised with the East thus far. I mean, the Wizards have been shaky. The Celtics have been really good. But then they're, like, the Raptors, the Bucks, the Hornets, the Pistons. Like, there's more depth in this conference than I would have ever expected. And coming into the year, I was planning on just ignoring the East for the next 6 months, but it's been fun so far.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we've been saying for a while that it's okay to still think that the Cavs are favorites to come out of the Eastern Conference because they have LeBron James. But yeah, you're right. When you're relying on someone who's 5'8", who just came off of a career season in hip surgery, and that's going to be joining a brand new team at the earliest in January, it feels like that's a really tough task to ask of Isaiah Thomas to basically lift this team. You're right. Jeff Green doesn't scare me. Nobody on that team scares me. There's a bunch of guys who are old, who look slower, who look all past their prime. There's just nothing really redeeming about that Cavs team outside of LeBron James. And you mentioned the Eastern Conference and how it's been a lot better this season. I agree with that. There's been some teams where maybe I hope they would be a little bit better. I kind of assume the Bucks would be challenging good teams maybe a bit more frequently. We'll see what they do against San Antonio. But ultimately, yes, the conference has been better. So when you look at it, do you think that it's Celtics and then some teams? Or do you view it and say maybe right now, if you were pegging it, you'd say Celtics, Raptors, Wizards, and then we're talking about the Cavs?
No, I would put the Celtics, Wizards, and Cavs in like the top three.
Oh, that's so rude. Why did you do that?
I'm really sorry.
Why did you have to be rude like that? Have you watched DeMar DeRozan play this year?
Listen. Can I be honest with you? I love the Raptors. And I don't love the Raptors, but every time I watch the Raptors, I think of you guys and I root for them to do well. But
that's sweet.
The problem is that, like, we've lived this same timeline with this team over and over again.
Yeah, but new culture.
New culture. I mean, like, I don't really know what they're trying to do with the threes and everything and trying to sort of change things without actually changing the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And I won't believe it with the Raptors until we get to the playoffs. And that's a bummer to say, but, like, we've watched them fall apart in the playoffs so many times that, like, it's hard to put them in that category of teams that can really win the East. Mm-hmm. But they're right there, and the Bucks are right there too. I think the Bucks defense has been like a disaster for the past 2 weeks, but if they can sort of fix that, and Eric Bledsoe will help, and particularly he'll help with the bench, like, they'll be in the mix too. So there are five teams that have, like, legitimate chance of winning the East, which is pretty crazy.
All right, simmer down with the Raptors' destruction in the playoffs.
Sorry,
so they've lost to the Cavaliers the last 2 years, and 2 years ago it was in the conference final. And I would sell you on this new Raptors offense and the culture change DeMar DeRozan feels like game after game he's got at least 5 assists, had 8 yesterday. The 3 is now a big part, maybe not a big part, but it's at least part of the conversation when you're talking about DeMar DeRozan. And the percentages are going up. They took 42 yesterday, made 16 of them. I think there are tangible differences between this Raptors team and the ones in the past.
So my worry is that DeMar is evolving just as Kyle Lowry is kind of slowing down and his window is starting to close. But at the same time, you know, it's early enough so that Kyle Lowry could just be starting a little slower because of the shortened preseason, and like, we'll see what happens. The other thing is, you guys were talking about, like, there are more pieces on the bench now than I can remember over the last few years.
Super deep.
And so like the athleticism off the bench is really going to help them through the regular season for sure, to try and sort of like solidify and stabilize things where like other teams like my Wizards are a disaster off the bench, and they're probably going to leave 5 wins on the table this year because of it. So that'll give the Raptors a chance to really like put themselves in a good spot going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think that the Wizards would just beg for anybody off the Raptors bench right now, because there's all these guys on the Raptors bench that are freaky and long and can all play defense.
They're so athletic and fun. It seems pretty unfair.
Yeah, the bench unit is great. It's just that they haven't figured out who's going to be the creator, essentially. Who's going to be the guy that ends up finishing shots. And that's why it just seems so natural that you would take out a guy like CJ Miles, who's struggling, and just swap him for Norm Powell, who has a bit more of a track record of being able to create for himself. But anyway, we'll see what ends up happening with them. I do like the young guys. I think that they're probably the biggest reason to think that this is a different Raptors group, because there is a element of, oh, you can run out DeLon Wright, you can run out OG Anunoby, Norm Powell, Lucas Nogueira, even Jakob Poeltl, Pascal Siakam. All these guys are so long. They've all got great motors. They all played really good defense. I think that you can frustrate some teams, and maybe that's what you try to gravitate to a little bit more than all of the offense and all the three-point shots, that actually becomes the Raptors' identity, is more defense, more length, something that the Bucks were seemingly trying to do, but for some reason their defense isn't really working out. I would say I want to switch over to the West, though, quickly, because I've been watching a lot of Western Conference basketball. I think we were all, like you said, we were writing off the East early. It's been better than expected, but the West was supposed to be premier, and we've had a bunch of games late at night where we're saying, oh, I'm definitely going to stay up and watch, Wolves and Warriors with no Kevin Durant. Maybe the Wolves are going to do something here. Oh, they get smashed by 25 points. But the biggest disappointment to me has been OKC. And I saw that your counterpart, Ben Golliver, wrote something on them today. I want to take a look at it. But I watched that Portland game and I watched that Denver game. And the only way I would describe the way that offense looks is uncomfortable. And it just doesn't feel like Paul George is fitting in, even though we expected early bumps. Do you think that you're a little bit more concerned about them than you anticipated being?
I'm definitely more concerned than I anticipated, in part because it's not even so much that, I mean, they were expected to struggle early on, but there isn't much evidence of any of those three guys making a sacrifice, really. And to be honest, like, I think it should be Russ, mm-hmm. who sort of tries to alter his game a little bit to make it work with Paul George and Carmelo, and that just hasn't happened. And Carmelo has weaknesses built into his game at this point in his career that aren't going to be fixable. And Paul George is incredible. I mean, he's like maybe 85% of what Durant was for OKC 2 years ago. And I just wonder whether Westbrook's MVP season sort of wired him a little bit differently, to the point where, like, now he thinks he's the guy and has to be the guy at all times in a way that's not really healthy for OKC. So my worry is that Russ is a problem, and they also – Billy Donovan may not be the guy to sort of get everyone on the same page. By the same token, though, it's – they're going to be really good on defense and have enough talent to finish in the middle of the West regardless. So they have some time to figure this out, because really we're going to judge them on the playoffs regardless. But yeah, man, there are reasons to worry about what's happening with them.
Yeah, they got to get there first. But I kind of thought the Russ thing would work in reverse. I actually think I argued this point directly
you
before
did.
The season.
And I told you how wrong you were.
I said, he's got his MVP. He showed he could be the man.
No.
He showed he could be the guy. Now, can he work well with others?
No.
Turns out, no. Turns out that was wrong.
The best part was Oladipo and Sabonis having just incredible starts to the season with the Pacers.
It's pretty eerie, man.
Yeah.
I mean, this is hard to respond to if you're a real Russ believer. I'm with you, though. Like, I thought the same thing. Mm-hmm. I thought, all right, so Russ is going to be, out of spite for his critics, he's going to come out and try to average, like, 15 assists per game and be, like, ultimate Mr. Distributor. And that has not happened. He's trying to repeat last season's performance with two stars next to him, and it's ugly, and it's going to get increasingly uncomfortable. Right now, everybody is still saying the right things, but, like, I don't know how many more losses Paul George is going to sit through where he takes 12 shots and Russ takes 22 shots. So,
yeah.
It's tough.
See, I think Carmelo's cool because he was just in New York. It was a tire fire. It was an absolute disaster. And he's still getting his touches, right?
For him.
Yeah, they're still like, hey, they still do the thing that Carmelo's done his entire career. Hey, here's the ball out on the wing, and you wait until there's 5 seconds on the shot clock and decide to try to go to the basket and get fouled or try to step back over a smaller defender. Like, that's just Carmelo. That's what he's going to do. He looks fine. He doesn't look out of place. It's Paul George, where everything that they draw up for him, it's just like he tries to catch something off of a screen behind the three-point line that they want him to just take a quick trigger shot. He doesn't seem very comfortable just going at the basket, or they don't seem to have too much drawn up for him that's very creative. And I feel like I'm him. You're right. They are saying the right things right now, and we are far removed from this. But I really do believe that we have a Paul George trade in play this season.
I think you're right, and I think that is it's one of those things. It's funny because I was talking to my colleague Ben Golliver, and after the loss last night, and I said, "Look, it's probably too early to come out with the, like, Paul George demand a trade column, or OKC needs to trade Paul George." But we're not that far off because, look, he's a free agent next summer. Sam Presti has already lost guys for nothing, obviously. And I don't think that they're going to, if things aren't going well, I don't think they're going to be comfortable just running it out until May, and assuming that they can try to re-sign him in July. I think they're going to have to look at all the options, and Paul George as a trade target is pretty fun to think about, so that it opens up a whole other spectrum of possibilities for the rest of the league.
What are your thoughts about the early returns on Lonzo Ball? Because he's filled up the stat sheet, except that the field goal percentage is rancid. I mean, there's lots of examples of guys learning how to shoot later in their career, but it's a horrible start.
Okay,
for
let's
him.
Just ask you this: if you were drafting today, do you still take Lonzo Ball second?
No, but I also in June would not have taken Lonzo Ball second. I thought the Lakers should have taken De'Aaron Fox second, and that was more controversial then. Still mildly controversial. I think Lonzo's going to be okay. I wrote about him a little bit today, just saying, basically stating the obvious. Like, what we've seen so far, he's actually been really impressive with everything but the shooting. Like, his poise out there and his vision is exactly as impressive as advertised. And I just think he's so comfortable, and the game looks so slow for him, that it's clear that if he can get to, like, 35% from three and he can start to finish at the rim a little bit better, he's going to be a really, really good player. But it's also clear that, like, if he can't shoot, this is not going to end well for anyone in L.A. because they're talking about him as if he's, like, Magic Johnson or Jason Kidd. And I think everyone's just going to get increasingly upset as he sort of continues to struggle. So it's a really interesting situation where he's going to have to evolve under, like, impossible circumstances with daily scrutiny on everything that he's doing. But if he can shoot, I really do think that he's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's the only thing that worries me, though, is it feels like you have to just have a full breakdown of the shot, that you need to start from scratch. That someone needs to eventually tell him. He should be doing, it's funny. The first two picks, they have controversies around them for reasons where they should be flipping this around. No, of course. But what I'm saying is that if you told me that Lonzo Ball was doing what Markelle Fultz is doing, where all of a sudden he's trying to change up his shot and he's shooting with his left hand in practice, you're like,
I would have said, all right, that's great.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, good. But because it's Markelle Fultz and there was nothing wrong with him to begin with, you're like, oh, my God, this is a disaster. And yet the other guy, Lonzo, continues to shoot this way. And they've gone over this now. And you just watching it in college, you wondered how it was going to be possible. And now at the NBA,
LeBron's making fun of it.
Well, just the way that you can't score. You just can't score trying to go to a certain side of your body. And teams are just able to block the shot. It's just too, well, it takes too long to load up. It just, it, there's
the
no tenable
becomes,
use.
Like, how do you go away for a summer and rework your shot when you're as famous as Lonzo is? And for better or worse, he's that. But like, I don't think he's. Should be that famous at this point in his career, no. But like he's under a microscope that will make it really difficult to do something like rework his entire jump shot. So I don't know if he'll be able to pull it off.
That's why I was making fun of one of our Laker fans at work, because I'm saying normally I don't care what guys do. They have fun, go play Xbox, go play whatever, just go rap, you do your own thing. But the fact that Lonzo was working on a rap album as he's like starting his NBA career, I was like, he's got a little bit of the ball in him that because we always try, it's just his dad. It's no problem with him personally. He does everything well. And then it's like, yeah, no, you're one of the most scrutinized players coming to league I can ever remember. And you're deciding to drop a rap on your birthday 2 weeks into your NBA career. Like, probably not the best timing for that. So you're right. I have a lot of questions. Last question one for me anyways is, when are we going to start to worry a little bit about Kawhi?
I'm there already.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit bizarre that this is not a bigger story, because especially as good as Kawhi was before he went down in last year's playoffs, man, I mean, he was basically like Kevin Durant level, third or fourth best player in the league. And now we just have no idea what's going on with his leg injury, and the Spurs have looked pretty good. And the part that I wonder about is whether this injury is more serious than we realize, or this is like elaborate gamesmanship from the Spurs, and they could just hold him out until the middle of January or the All-Star break and bring him back to sort of like run through the league down the stretch. And I don't know. I think even for Pop, that would be too extreme. But it's just, there are a lot of questions and very few answers right now.
Oh, I like that you're wearing the tinfoil hat. I'm all about that.
I can't help it, man. We've had a lot of time to wonder about this.
I guess it's just, you're right, though. Every other star in the league, and this is just so proof of how we just don't care about the Spurs whatsoever. Because
that's probably what it says.
Like, imagine this was just Damian Lillard.
Right.
This would be every day. We'd be like, oh, crap, something's going on with Damian Lillard. Like, they're hiding something. With the Spurs, they're just like, Kawhi's fine. This is no big deal. He's going to be coming back.
He'll be back when he's back, whatever. Yeah. It's really strange, man. Yeah. I mean, he's so much better than even a Damian Lillard.
Yes.
He's an really MVP candidate.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. He's one of the best players in the league, and yet you're like, what is that? Or, like, for example, like, let's imagine this was Porzingis in New York. It's like, this story is
dominating.
Well,
they keep winning without him, right?
Every single day, and all of a sudden
– there would be news networks springing up just to cover the Porzingis injury. And Kawhi, who knows? We'll see him next year, maybe.